Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The city of Chicago felt the rushing mighty wind during the days of D.L. Moody, the founder of Moody Church. We're learning about those special times when God comes to church. And today, we'll relive those days that happened right here where this broadcast comes from. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer concludes a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. Now listen as we hear what God did in the city of Chicago.
In 1856, D.L. Moody came to the city of Chicago. That's 2 years before the awakening. One of his biographers said that it was this awakening that thrust D.L. Moody into his revival ministry. D.L. Moody, of course, he rented pews in the Plymouth Church, and they kicked him out because they said that these boys that you're bringing in are so rowdy. So he had to begin his own church. But he says to his mother during this great awakening, "There is a great revival of religion in the city. I go to meeting every night. Oh, how I enjoy it. It seems if God himself is present. Oh, mother, pray for us. Pray that this will go on until every knee is bowed." And so it is that D.L. Moody received his thrust into ministry through this great awakening, this prayer revival that took place here in the city of Chicago. Now, I need to comment that D.L. Moody was asked to no longer come to the Plymouth Church. He began a Sunday school in a beer hall. Abraham Lincoln stopped by as president-elect. That's how well-known D.L. Moody was for his children's ministry. And the president-elect didn't want to speak, but Moody says, "I'm sure that he will have something to say." So he spoke briefly to the children. Then he went to Washington to become the president. And D.L. Moody then began a church called the Illinois Street Church. This is the fourth location of the Moody Church since 1864 when it was founded. The first one was on Illinois Street. And then that one burned in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871 when Mrs. O'Leary's cow hit that lantern and the fire began. By the way, a few years ago, I was actually where the barn supposedly was and discovered it's right next to a fire station. So I don't think they want that to happen again. So you have the first one is the Illinois Street. The second one is a tabernacle at Ontario and Wells, which no longer exists. And that was used almost as a clearinghouse to help all the people as a result of the fire. Then you have a church where Moody Bible Institute is today. We have pictures of it. A large church held about 1,500 people. And then you have them coming 1 mile north of Moody Bible Institute. And that's why we are here today. But all of that as a result of the Great Awakening, when God was doing unusual things in the city of Chicago, when people were crying up to God and multitudes were converted. You say, "Well, Pastor Lutzer, how big was the impact of this revival?" It was huge. A secular historian called it the event of the century. The historian J. Edward Orr wrote, "The influence of the awakening was felt everywhere in the nation. It first captured the great cities, but it also spread through every town and village and country and hamlet. It swamped schools and colleges. It affected all classes without respect to condition. There was no fanaticism. There was a remarkable unanimity of approval among religious and secular observers alike, with scarcely a critical voice heard anywhere. It seemed to many that the fruits of Pentecost had been repeated. Hundreds of thousands of people were converted during the period of about 2 or 3 years. God sometimes uses visible people, and he did in the first two great awakenings, but this awakening was a movement of the Holy Spirit of God. It was a prayer movement. What are some of the characteristics when God comes to town? What are the distinguishing marks? First of all, you have a strong awareness of the presence of God. Like D.L. Moody wrote to his mother, it seems as if God himself were present. My prayer often for the Moody Church is that when people come into this sanctuary, I pray that they may have an awareness of God. I want you to leave today saying, surely God is in that place, an awareness of God. Secondly, along with that, of course, is deep conviction of sin, deep conviction of sin. There were people during these awakenings who could scarcely function. They could scarcely do their business because so heavy was that sense of conviction over issues in their life that they had not dealt with. You say, well, revival must be a very, very sad time. No, it's a very, very happy time. Because once they were able to get beyond that and not only to understand their sin, but the marvels of God's grace and confess what God brought to their attention and got their personal relationship straightened out between members of the family, members in business, and asked one another's forgiveness. Once all that began to happen, the indisputable mark of the work of the Holy Spirit is always joy. And that overflowed. Revivals unite and they divide. They unite true believers, but they also divide us from the world. You say, well, can we insist on a revival? No, I don't think we can insist. It's not as if God has to give us one. But I always say, let's set the sails in such a way that we can catch the breeze of what God wants to do. What if God wanted to do this in Chicago again? It might look very differently than it did in the past. But isn't God God? Can't we trust him to do it again? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, and I'm only going to underline certain words in verses 12 to the end of the book. 1 Thessalonians 5. What do we do when we're waiting for revival? Well, we have to be faithful. But look at words like this, verse 12, respect those who labor among you. Verse 13, regard them highly in love. You think of respect, love, admonish, be patient, verse 14. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. The healing of personal relationships is always necessary. All of these revivals, by the way, were preceded by prayer. Jonathan Edwards was the beginner of the concerts of prayer. We think today, oh, a concert of prayer is something new. Edwards began it. And then rejoice always. There you have the joy. Pray without ceasing. If you've taken the commitment to pray for a special hour, on a special hour every week, in addition to your regular devotion time, seek God on behalf of your family, on behalf of your church, on behalf of this nation. Who knows but that God may forgive our sins and come in great power and show up and begin to attend church. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. And we certainly grieve the Spirit because of sin, and God may want to do something unusual. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything to be sure. Don't be gullible just because somebody says, I have the gift of prophecy, and then give some kind of a prophetic statement. No, no, no. Test. That's not being done today. There are those who claim prophecy, but they are not testing everything. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, there's something we can do as we wait for revival to come. And then what a lovely prayer. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. I conclude today by saying, God is not intimidated by the city of Chicago. Did you know that? He's not intimidated because of our many evils. He's not intimidated because of racism and because of corruption. If God wills it, and if we are available to it, God could show up and begin to change everything. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank you today that we've been able to recount, at least in summary form, what you did. Thank you, Father God, for your blessing upon this city, that at one time Metropolitan Hall could not contain all the people who came to noon prayer meetings. Thank you, Father, that we have statistics that show that the churches in Chicago increased converts and membership across the whole evangelical spectrum. We pray, Father God, and we're not sure that we're ready for this, but we pray, Father, sincerely, do it again. Just do it again. In this congregation and others, choose those to whom you give a burden for an awakening, and may they seek you, and may we all seek you and pray and say, God, let us seek your face that we might be available for a mighty work of your blessed Spirit. For those who are here today who have never trusted Christ as Savior, we pray that they may do that, knowing that you are available and you will not turn them away if they come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. My friend, today, have you been blessed as a result of the ministry of Running to Win? In a moment, I'm going to give you a phone number. I want you to call us and tell us what Running to Win means to you, especially those of you who have come to saving faith in Christ. Maybe that happened some time ago and you've never connected with us. You want to be able to share with us so that we might be encouraged as to what God is doing in your heart and your life. Of course, as I frequently mention, we cannot have this ministry alone. We thank the many people who stand with us, who pray for us, who give, yes. But at the end of the day, what we're really interested in is the transformation of lives. Running to Win exists for the glory of God, to help as many people as possible to run successfully all the way to the finish line. If you're running with us and you want to encourage us, here's the phone number, 1-800-215-5001. Let me give that number to you again, 1-800-215-5001. Let us know what Running to Win means to you. Tell us your story. Pray for us, because together we are making a difference and believing God for great things.
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded People Will Pray, the last in a series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching and will purpose to be a praying person of the day. When God Comes to Church can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.